This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. In the letter I'm writing, I'm talking about the end times, because we've had so many people say it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I think what is missing so much in it is that our conception of Babylon the Great has not been entirely correct. I think we've come to understand that it is a worldwide governmental system which is going to take over the whole world, and that it's taking time to get it organized in that particular way. Now, let's come here to Revelation 17. And let's also think beyond what the Protestants do in relationship to what they consider Babylon the Great, which is restricted normally to the Roman Catholic Church, which then, with them coming back in unity, the Protestants with the Catholics, sort of makes that out of date, doesn't it? But let's see what it says here. First of all, let's just begin here in verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying to me, "Come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." Now, when we view Babylon as the source of all the world's religions, then that helps us understand what we're talking about here. And that is scattered all around the world. Now, let's come over here to verse 15. We know this. We've had this before, but let's just review it. Then he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." And we've always understood this, at least in the early years, going back to the 60s, to mean that this applied to a united Europe. And even at one time, it was contemplated that there would be five kings from Eastern Europe and five kings from Western Europe, and those would combine and make the 10 nations. Well, now Europe is combined into where they have about 15 members, 12 in the core, and many others that they are bringing into the European Union. And we have failed to see the worldwide significance of this, and it's not just restricted to that. And I think it was about 1968 or 69, I gave a sermon where I said, now what if it ends up being more than 10 nations? What are we going to do? What if the 10 kings cover more than just a single nation? And we now know that the beast, if you follow along in our series in Revelation, that the beast that was and is not and yet is will very probably be a United Nations type world government, which they've been pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And it's undoubtedly going to come, and I will bring you a second step of what's going to happen in the United States with that. But let's go on here. Now, verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth... Now, notice, kings of the earth. And the thing we've failed to understand about Revelation is that it is telling us the things that are going to happen around the whole world. This is a worldwide book. And it's also interesting when we get the Bible back in its original order and point out the seven divisions of the Bible. Revelation, the single book of Revelation, is the seventh division. And this tells us that Revelation, as we've said before, but it even shows it more, that Revelation must be understood with what's in the rest of the Bible. So the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, full of the names of blasphemy. Now, in the sermons that we have on the series in Revelation, the beast that was and is not and yet is, I point out how that the United Nations has divided the world into 10 regions. So that could very well be the placement of the things that it's talking about here at the end. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, and she had a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Now it's a mystery because the world doesn't understand the sinfulness of it, because it's part of it. Now, come over here and let's to chapter 18 and verse 3, where it shows the judgment of the great whore. Verse 3, because all nations, now you see that's worldwide, all nations, not just Europe, but all nations, have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. Now stop and think. Right now, we're what? Just before Christmas. And what is happening? Everyone is wrapped up into the system of what? Christmas. And then we'll have Easter. We already had Halloween. And the merchants become rich through these days by the sales that they have. See? And even countries that don't believe in a Roman Catholic version of Christianity, such as Japan and China and India, they celebrate Christmas as well. And they're all wrapped up. And business-wise, a lot of businesses could not get along without having the Christmas sales. And, of course, Betty used to work at Walmart. And the thieves can't get along without Walmart either, can they? But that's true. They start bringing in August the things for Halloween, and in September the things for Christmas. And everything is geared to it. So this means that all of the factories in China and India and Thailand and wherever factories are making goods, They are beginning to make these things and filling their orders back in April and May so they can get everything ready to go and ship out. Because as we know, there is at least a 2-month lead time in transportation to get things shipped around the world. So they're constantly working on it. Now, let's notice something else here. Back to verse 5 of Revelation 17. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. See, now, when we refer people to the book, The Two Babylons, which most of us have read, what happened at the Tower of Babel? The religion of Nimrod and Semiramis spread to the whole world. And wherever these religions are, they are the daughters of Babylon the Great. So when it says Babylon the Great, this also tells us it's a worldwide system. Now, what is it that they're saying religiously? Well, all religions are good, and they're all going, people are going to go to the same place. Well, they don't know how true that statement is. But you see, the true believers of God are not in a religious organization. And if you don't have the tapes, Why God Hates Religion. And there are 5 tapes in Why God Hates Religion. Because God's way is a way of life. Now let's notice verse 6, and here's something else that is interesting. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, have you ever wondered about those people who die for the name of Jesus, but obviously were not part of the church of God? Well, it defines it here. Blood of the saints are those that have the Spirit of God. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus includes all of those who die for the name of Jesus. Now, as we know what the Bible teaches concerning the second resurrection, what do we understand from that? If they die for the name of Jesus, not having been converted, then they'll be in the second resurrection for sure. So they'll have an opportunity then. Because they did die for the name of Jesus, though they misunderstood it. Now, you can include down through history a lot of people in that category. Now, let's look at something else concerning Babylon. Let's come back here to the book of Isaiah. Come to Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. And what I want to cover is that this is going to be a worldwide system. Okay, verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. So then he brings it all down here. Let's come down to verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. So this is the time of Jesus Christ, second coming. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid. Now you can tie that in with Revelation 6. You can tie that in with Revelation 9. You can ultimately tie that in with Revelation 16 and the 7 last plagues, you see. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails, and that's referred to in the book of Revelation. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames, for the day of the Lord comes cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land. Now this should read earth desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine, and I will punish the world. So Babylon the Great system encompasses the whole world. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now that is the terrible one. And I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall be moved out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. So that's quite something, isn't it? So this again shows worldwide. Now, what they are trying to do in order to bring in a worldwide government is to regionalize things on the pattern of the European Union. Now, they want to do this with the Arabs, the Islamics. And eventually, I think what's going to happen out of all the turmoil there, the only way that they're going to get them calmed down and into some sort of resemblance of civilized people, they will have to get them into this regional union of the Islamic nations. Now, that's already been proposed, and we've covered that in past sermons. Now then, people have wondered, what's going to happen to America, being mainly Israel? Now, we know that the prophecy, let's come here to Deuteronomy 28, because I want to tell you what we are in for in the next few years, and I can tell you exactly how it's going to happen even more so than we've understood in the past, as you will see. Deuteronomy 28. Now, what you might do if you're online, you might go and see and look up what happened to South Africa. Remember what happened to South Africa? All of the strangers within their midst, because when the British and the Dutch first went down there, there were only just a few native people. But they all immigrated in from other nations. And eventually they took over. And today, South Africa is a model of what they want to do to America. Because most of Israel, and especially remember, the name of Israel was given upon Ephraim and Manasseh, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And what's happening in England today? They have become so diversified and so politically correct that they can hardly control the immigrants that are there. And as a matter of fact, in England, the Muslims have secret Shia courts where they take their own people in and they try them according to Muslim law. See, now this sets up a sovereign within a sovereign. And you can't have that. That'll never work. Now, it's happening here in America. And I know every time we watch the television, I do, my wife does, I know you do, why don't they do something with the border? I'll tell you in just a little bit why they don't do it. And as I gave the sermon, the truth about the immigration problem is roughly this. There are 1.4 immigrants for every abortion committed in the United States. So that's the punishment. And as I mentioned in that sermon, there will never be a turnaround from the immigration problem until abortion is abolished. Never happened. And North Dakota, I forget whether it was North Dakota or South Dakota, they had on the ballot, do you want to outlaw abortion? Failed to pass. They did not outlaw it. And the reason being is that those people who really do not believe in abortion and understand that human life begins at conception are becoming fewer and fewer because we're getting older and older and are dying. And so the voting population now is becoming more what they would call politically liberal. So they will never get rid of it. So what is going to happen is this. Now, we've talked about it before, Deuteronomy 28, verse 43. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high. He hasn't quite reached that point yet. But again, look at South Africa. Look at South Africa. What happened to it? And you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you. Now, I'm going to talk about the financial problems and this a little bit more in a subsequent sermon, which will take more detail indeed. But suffice to say, we owe everybody in the world trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. As a matter of fact, if you have a mortgage on your home, is probably sold to consortium of investors in China and Japan. And so if there is a crash financially and economically, don't be too surprised if it, someone comes and knocks on your door and he is from the Orient and says, if you can't make these payments, this house is mine. Because he holds a mortgage. Because we sell it to them. See. Same way with, you know, all about the balance of payments problems and so forth. He shall become the head and you shall become the tail. That's what's going to happen. Now, let's see how this is set up and what is going to happen. And this will help answer the question why it is apparent that none of the presidents are concerned about the border problem. Now, this is written by Senator Karen S. Johnson. And she says, concern for America's future. This is from the North American Union. I just returned from a week in Washington, D.C. with a group of concerned women where we learned about the security and prosperity partnership known as the North American Union. This partnership was agreed upon at a private meeting. I have more details that I'm going to get on this. In Waco, Texas, on March 28, 2005, between Mexican President Vicente Fox, President Bush, and then Prime Minister Paul Martin of Canada. The SPP is an agreement to merge our United States of America with Mexico and Canada. See www.spp.gov. It is there. With virtually no mention in the mainstream media, no oversight from Congress, Commerce Secretary Carlos M. Gutierrez is pushing forward with the working groups that are currently implementing this plan. The government bureaucrats and business leaders are harmonizing and integrating our laws with Mexico and Canada on a broad range of issues such as e-commerce, transportation, environment, health, agriculture, financial services, and national security, to mention just a few. We do have our laws harmonized with Socialist Canada. Do we want our laws harmonized with Socialist Canada and corrupt Mexico? It's going to come to the point they have no choice. And I'll tell you why. And I know Dolores has said time again. It seems as though that the president does not want to uphold the Constitution and protect the borders. Neither does the Congress. And with this, there will be no borders. So think of that. If you're concerned about terrorism in our country, then enlarging our borders, merging our security functions with Mexico, and giving up sovereignty and constitutional protections does not make us safer. Because remember this, any treaty between sovereign nations becomes the law of the land and supersedes the Constitution. So they don't have to do away with it. They'll just put this over the top of it. Jerome Corsi, a Harvard professor who has spent months researching this issue, was recently able, through a Freedom of Information request, to obtain 1,000 pages on the SPP North American Union, which clearly reveal that the Bush administration is running a shadow government with Mexico and Canada in which unelected bureaucrats are crafting a broad range of policy changes. The SPP is truly rewriting U.S. administrative law, all without congressional oversight or public disclosure. The American people have got to be alerted, and we must contact our members of Congress to put a stop to this. Now, that will never happen, because I'll tell you what's going to come up next, and I also have some information on this. There will be an economic crisis of a major proportion that will be triggered after they have already in place, which they're already working on, and you've heard me mention this a time or two, called the AMERO. And the AMERO will be the new currency in America. Now, what I want you to do is look at a brand new $20 bill. I'm passing it around here. And you will notice that they are gradually changing the shape and the form and the color. On the front side, there is blue, an eagle, and it says United States of America. Then on the back side, they have a lot of yellow specks. This is all in preparation for the coming AMERO. You can go online and look up about the AMERO. I think you will be absolutely stunned to realize what they have already done in preparation for this. So this will be very, very important to understand. So let me tell you this in the way of a warning. Get out of debt as much as possible, as soon as possible, because the target date for this integration is between 2010 and 2012. Add into the political mix, what if our president is Hillary Rodham? And it will be such a catastrophic financial fall that no one will be able to do anything else except accept it. They will have no alternative. We live in a society that you have to buy and sell. You turn in your dollars for so many AMEROs. That's it. So many pesos. So many Canadian dollars. And if you don't do it, you can't function. Unless you live way out and you have everything on your property that you need to exist independently.
The
question was asked, what about gold? Well, gold will be worth a lot at that time. And the other question was, is this the mark of the beast? No. The mark of the beast is yet to come. But see, when you regionalize it, then what they want to do is regionalize it into five major economic zones. North America, Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Islamic nations. Probably South America will eventually be included in the North American thing. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us, number one, there's a lot of time until the end. And it also tells us that there's a lot of trouble between now and then that we will have to see and live through. So we have to be ready for it. Now, come over here to verse 52. It talks about a nation that will come against you. Verse 52, he shall besiege you in all of your gates, and that's where the strangers are. Oh, have you seen anything on the South American gang MS-13? 150,000 dedicated, hardcore murderers ready to do the bidding for God. So the Muslims, radical Muslims, aren't the only radical people in the world. Okay, so they're, this tells us a very important thing. You cannot mock God. You cannot turn your back on God, even as a carnal nation in the world, and get away with it. Just that simple. So I just wanted to cover this and cover a few things. We're going to put this on a CD that we have with one of the first ones I did for Church at Home, How to Find God. And that one was 38 minutes, and this one is 30 minutes and about 10 seconds, so it should be able to fit on there okay. And Jim is shaking his head. Yes, it'll work. Okay, well, I'll bring two sermons on this in the future. But this is just sort of to kind of prime the pump and let you know it is in the works and it will happen. And when it does, there is nada that anyone is going to be able to do about it.